Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back. This is hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette here with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Ken Pentland. We have Dr. Jerry Mixon off for the next couple of weeks. And we're talking with Kate from Seattle. Thank you for holding on, Kate. You had some questions about your kidney and the fact that you just eat a little bit once a day.
Yeah, and I do have a snack of probably a small handful of nuts, mixed nuts, you know, later on in the day. But other than that, and it's a well-balanced meal. It's a little, it's about 3 ounces of protein, and I'm kind of hooked on this black rice. I love it, and a small salad.
That sounds delicious, actually.
Yes. It must be lunchtime when I'm hungry.
And I think you were wondering if having one meal a day is going to be improving for liver and kidney health. Is that the
correct
question?
Yeah, and also, you know, I'm wondering about milk thistle, if that's a good thing to take. But yes, that's my question.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, we do talk about intermittent fasting with our patients, and that can vary in time frame from, you know, 8 hours and keeping the meals within an eight hour window and giving the GI and the rest of the body more physiologic rest, which can improve metabolic function overall, but in especially liver, which has to process all the nutrients that come from the intestines in the bloodstream. So, but, you know, you do want to also make sure your caloric needs are met and the protein levels are adequate to maintain muscle and things like that. So, but as long as those basic requirements are met, then, yeah, I think some mode of intermittent fasting is generally good for metabolic health.
Okay, and what about taking milk thistle? Is that a good thing or...?
Yeah, milk thistle is kind of a broad liver support. It's kind of the most premier liver support herb. It helps with bile flow and detoxification, helps protect liver cells. So it's generally favorable for, you know, liver protection.
Is there any other supplement that might be? Because my brother is really going through quite an ordeal with his kidney situation, and so I'm real concerned. If there's anything else that I might take to make sure that mine are working fine.
Sure. You're not on any medications, are you?
No, okay. I don't take any
sometimes we
medicine.
Use blood pressure medications also that that we can change the medication so they can be more protective for the kidneys. So that's an important question. If you're on any other prescription medication, you need to let your doctor know that you want to be renal protective in mind.
Gotcha.
Even if you
okay.
don't have a problem.
Sure. Okay.
And then the other thing I'll add is that sometimes less is more when you're dealing with trying to be proactive in prevention. You don't want to take too many things because you don't know what is not right for you. I have a patient in my practice and curcumin really affects her kidney function adversely. It doesn't do it for everybody, but it does for her. And so we have to be careful in how much relief factor and curcumin we give her. And so everybody's a little bit unique, but, you know, don't try to take too many things. Definitely, I like NAC, I like milk thistle. Make sure your vitamin D is adequate. Make sure your antioxidant load is adequate because that helps you fight disease. With kidney disease, particularly, we tell our patients, don't eat too much protein. Doesn't seem like you are eating too much. You're well-balanced. You need it for muscle. So I think you sounds like, as a general rule, you are doing the right things.
Thank you. That was very helpful. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome, and all the best to you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you for the call, Kate. All right, we are going to Burien. Scott is on the line. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine, Scott.
Hello, Scott.
Hi.
How can we
help? I've had the platelet-rich plasma injection in my lower back,
uh-huh.
And it worked for about a year. Excuse me. I'm just wondering if stem cell injections would be a better option. I just don't know the difference between the two, if one's better than the other.
Sure. That's a great question. I think the answer is it depends on what we're trying to treat. And with platelet-rich plasma, what we're doing is extracting your own growth factors and putting them back in your own body wherever you need them. In your case, you needed them in your back. With the stem cells, we're going a little bit deeper, and what we're trying to do is take out native cells or old, you know, youthful cells that will then regenerate in that area where we're putting them and make it make something more useful. And predominantly, they're basically also reducing inflammation where we're injecting them. So if the purpose is to help in rejuvenating a particular area with some stem cell growth, then yes, you would want to do that. But if it's just a local area of inflammation and you're trying to calm the inflammation down, then PRP in and of itself is adequate. So I think that is a very good question for your injector. And also the answer is based on what is it that you're going through? What is your pathology there? Is it disc degeneration? Is it a pars defect? Is it a fracture? Is it osteophyte formation? Is it, you know, compression of the spinal cord? It depends really on what is happening to you.
Okay. All right, well, that answers my question. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, good luck to you. Mm-hmm. Back pain is so difficult. You know, there are so many causes, and one of the predominant causes and the common denominator is inflammation. And if you can reduce inflammation, it helps ease the pain. But say he has a nerve impingement, there's a nerve exiting the area that is being affected. Will stem cells help that? I honestly don't know. Mm. And then if it is disc degeneration and his discs are collapsing and then now he's compressing the exiting nerves because of that, then maybe a lift of that spinous process to give him more room is a better option than injecting something else in that area. Mm. So lots of different options, but
really
obviously
depends on the cause,
the pathology, underlying pathology is critical.
All right, doctors, you ready for another phone call?
Yes.
All right, and let me give that number again, time to get into the call queue with about 50 minutes left of our show, 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We're now headed right over to Kirkland, not too far away, and we have Heidi on the line. Welcome, Heidi.
Hello, Heidi.
Hi there. Hey, listen, I'm a client, but I'm calling for my sister, okay?
Okay.
She's got diabetes and has had diabetes for many years. In fact, just 2 years ago, they put her on insulin because all the other stuff didn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. So she's had terrible stomach problems. I mean, I'm not kidding you. She's had, like, diarrhea nonstop for months, okay? Mm-hmm. She can't leave the house. Even when she takes Imodium now, she can still have diarrhea. And so because of her diabetes, she lives in Canada. So, you know, it's limited on what they do and the timing and so forth. But she doesn't have a kidney doctor, a diabetes doctor, and a GP. So she feels like she's being taken care of. Mm-hmm. She's seeing an enterologist, a gastroenterologist, next week for the first time, you know, after suffering for this from years. And so the question is, they don't want her to take any supplements at all. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I kind of get it, right, because of her kidneys. Her kidney value was as low as, I don't know if this is a Canadian number or an American number, but it was down to 19. It's back up to 39. And so that's a little better. But even so, they don't want her taking any supplements. So they won't even let her take B12. Now, she has been taking vessel protection. And after she's been on that for 6 months, her kidney numbers went up. Now, I don't know if it's related to the vessel protection, but so the question is, what can she do for her stomach? I mean, is there some general prebiotic, probiotic thing that she could start with? I mean, at this point, I'm worried about her nutritional levels, too. Mm-hmm. You've been talking about that this morning. Is that something that she can do with IV therapy, or will it also affect the kidneys? Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm at a loss. She can't even come and visit because she can't drive for 2 hours.
Yeah, Heidi, thank you for your question, and I'm so sorry to hear this. Sounds terrible, what she's going through. So is there any known cause or trigger for her diarrhea? Does she have IBS? Was she ever put on a medication that triggered it? Because, I mean, uncontrolled diarrhea for so long seems rather, difficult.
Terrible.
Something
suspicious,
drastic, yeah.
Something's
and,
going on.
And why?
So she was on Medlin. Well, what's that diabetes drug?
Metformin.
She was on metformin for years, but they already took her off of that. And after they took her off of that, this was like, I don't know, 3 years ago, they took her off metformin. Okay. She actually had a break in the diarrhea for a few months, but then it came back.
Sure. Good.
Right. So metformin, one of the side effects can be that.
Yes.
But what did they replace it with? Is that causing a side effect?
Well, she's on insulin now. Not shots.
Insulin. Yeah.
Maybe it's the brand of insulin. But, maybe it's something in the diet as well.
So she had been tested for food allergies, and wheat came up, not gluten, but wheat. And so she's cut back on bread, but, she hasn't been able to stop it completely. She's never done a total, the diet where you start with rice and add things. She's never done that. But she has not been able to see any trigger. I mean, she's very careful about what she eats. She does most of her own cooking and shopping. And so she's not been able to come up with a trigger.
It is the BARD diet, right? What is it?
Are you talking about the bland?
Or the BRAT diet?
The BRAT diet that helps with the diarrhea. People take it with applesauce and
bananas,
rice, mostly carbohydrates.
I don't believe she's ever done that one.
There's also potentially the low FODMAP diet or the low lectin diet. We don't know what the trigger is. It might not be of an allergy, like an immune system response. Like I was talking about with another patient, lectins, if you have certain incompatible lectins in the diet, that's going to produce an inflammatory response. And if she has a weak digestion, it could definitely cause symptoms like that. So, and that's not going to show up on a food sensitivity test usually.
But I think with her seeing a gastroenterologist, going with a clean slate is probably important so that in other words, what happens, Heidi, is that the first thing they do is blame the supplement. They'll go, oh, it's because of that supplement. Stop taking that. So it's a good thing that she's not taking anything. She's going with a clean slate. I hope they do a colonoscopy to take a look or an endoscopy to kind of see what's going on.
She did have a colonoscopy and it was clean.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, that's good news.
That's good. That's a good start. When I get patients that have chronic diarrhea and there's some kind of inflammatory influence that's triggering that, so the gut is saying, okay, everybody out of the pool. One of the things I will recommend for them, and it does count as a supplement, but it's activated charcoal. But you know, maybe they might allow that if it's, you know, they understand basically what it is and what it's doing, acting like a sponge and binding inflammatory factors to leave the body instead of being recirculated in the body. And that's been extremely helpful for a number of chronic diarrhea cases I've seen, but individual results may vary. So, and it's not for continual use either. I usually recommend 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, and then about three capsules a day with water. So, but that's generally available, and you can ask and see if they'll allow that.
That's a good thought.
Okay, that's great. So how about the caps? How many grams or milligrams?
I think they usually come in 500 milligram capsules, so 1500 milligrams 1 to 2 times a day with water. Make sure it's with water. It is slightly constipating. And we'll turn your stool black, so don't be alarmed.
Yeah, she wants to be a little constipated right now. All right, I think music tells me we have to go to a break. But Heidi, hang on. We'll come back and we'll finish up, okay?
Yes. We're taking your calls today. It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, here with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Ken Pentland. So give us your calls and your questions. We will be gone until the new year. We will have our program, but we'll be featuring some of our best of phone calls the next 2 weeks. So if you have a question for the doctors, today is the day. Here's the number, 206-421-5757. We'll be right back. This is the wish of Barney and Ben.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas. Oh, and when you walk down the street.
And Burl Ives there. I will always...
Dr. Pentland, are you going dancing?
No.
Why not?
I just do sofa dancing.
So. Okay.
What? You burn more calories if you actually stood up.
He would swing, to the Holly Jolly song.
Yes, he would. And what about you, Lynette? Are you going dancing?
No, not today. No.
Tomorrow?
Maybe. We'll see. Oh, we have Heidi on the line. Heidi, thank you for waiting. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Talking to Heidi about her sister's issues with chronic diarrhea.
Right. So we were talking about activated charcoal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great tip.
Right. Yeah. And I've used it many times and usually do it 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. But that, you know, that's a fairly benign supplement that can be well understood by physicians. I mean, it's prescribed for people who've been poisoned.
Yeah,
you know? So
that's right. Mm-hmm.
So that's a, you know, run that
so
by.
I have a question on the IV therapy for her. Uh-huh. I understand, Dr. Pentland, that I heard you describe the four formulas that you guys are featuring right now, but I also understand that you'll customize an IV therapy. So for somebody like my sister, say she's gone through the gastroenterologist and there's mild improvement. I don't expect dramatic, but you know, my concern would still be that she's nutritionally bereft because of all this problem for years now. So would you, do you have just a special nutritional IV therapy that would work for her, or would you want to do a more detailed intake before you do something like that?
Definitely want to do a more detailed intake a little bit because of the kidney compromise. You know, if the GFR, I think is what you're talking about, being lower, like under 50, then we do need to be careful about introducing excess fluids to that. Although one of the ingredients that we offer is taurine, which is an amino acid which has many benefits for cardiovascular, liver, and kidney function.
Yeah.
And I like to think of that for patients with kidney function difficulties, but we have to make sure the kidneys are functional enough to tolerate an IV, and there are some certain limits to that. But if she qualifies, then that would be a good thing to do.
Okay, well, good. I'll know to ask for her numbers when she sees these guys, and then hopefully we can work something out in the new year.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Yeah, wishing her all the very best. You know, before we let go of this topic, we have sometimes talked about peptides in renal disease and how they can actually help with renal function. So that might be something, especially if her EGFR is as low as you mentioned. You said 19 or 11 and then went up into the 30s.
Well, now she's up at 39, yeah, but she has been as low as 19. Like that was like 5 years ago. But
so, you know, definitely the 39 is a much better value. But we do have to be careful with a lot of therapies. But peptides might be something that might be very helpful for her. In more ways than one.
And is that an IV therapy thing?
It's a sub-Q injection.
It's not okay.
IV, but it's a sub-Q injection.
Cool.
Okay.
Great. I'll send these questions to her, and then when she sees her GE, she can ask if about these things, and we'll see what they say. You know, usually they say, no.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Urine pH for that too.
Thank you
right?
for that, Heidi.
Not for this particularly. Do you want to talk about urine pH?
Well, we talked about urine pH for a previous call, but that would apply here as well. You know, measuring the pH of the urine would also be a good benchmark.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. If you'd like to get into that call queue, about a half hour left of our show, 206-421-5757. We have room to slip you in on our last live show of the year.
That's right.
Yes.
The last live show of 2024.
Yeah. 206-421-5757. But of course, you know, trying to explain what we do to our doctors. We have a lot of folks that will call and want to be able to explain to their doctor what we do. And then can you put me on this or give me a prescription for that? And it's just different than what we do here at Longevity. And I thought I would have you, Dr. Umat, explain just a little bit about what makes us so unique.
Yeah. You know, we earlier talked about normal, and we talked about normal being a bell-shaped curve. And then if you fall outside of that, then the acute medical system will treat you. But if you're within that normal range, you're really not covered by insurance. And so that's the whole thing. If you accept that what is happening to you with time is part of the normal falling apart of everything, then that's you don't do anything about it. But if you are more proactive, more inquisitive, more engaged, have seen others go down the hill, and you're asking yourself, what can I do today so that that's not my fate tomorrow, then we're your clinic. We basically are addressing the normal but undesirable changes of aging. And the sooner you get started on that road, the better off you will be. It's very difficult to say with certainty that our interventions helped our older patients be as healthy as they are. But nonetheless, it is very heartwarming when our older patients say that to us.
Mm-hmm.
Are they disease-free? Are they risk-free? No, they all have issues, but their ability to overcome those issues and come out stronger at the other end are better. I've had patients that have had surgery that have had great outcomes from surgery. I've had patients that develop sudden problems, but they have great outcomes from that problem. Sometimes it takes a little while to recover, but they recover. And that's the point, that we are basically giving your body the tools to help itself. And we're rejuvenating it on the inside. That's when I talked about the example of the tree. That's at the root level. We are addressing the root causes of your problems. And sometimes it's just, you know, people just need to get it off their chest and let you know, am I doing the right thing? And sometimes it's more in depth. Like I had a patient recently say to me, well, you didn't tell me that last time. And the reason is you didn't need it last time. You know, we listen. We're listening to what you're saying. We're looking at your numbers. We have the advantage of having your labs ahead of time so that when you come in with a problem, we're like, okay, this really makes sense. And then the other day, somebody actually didn't mention a problem, and I saw her FSH shoot up, and I go, are you having hot flashes? And she go, yeah, now that you mention it, you know, I get hot flashes. Like, she didn't mention that to me, but the labs will tell me. And so then I know that even though the estradiol level looks fine, I'm going to do something differently today. So we address what we learn is new in medicine and that can help you be better and be better prepared as you move into your tomorrows.
Absolutely. Become a patient at longevity and be stronger and faster and leaner and all of the wonderful things that Dr. Mixon will say each week. He says stronger, leaner, faster, smarter, sexier, which makes you happier. Here is that number to call to make your appointment to come in for a free health analysis. We want to find out what life has done to you so far and what risks you could be for. Seen down the road. Here's that number. It's 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or you can go to our website, which is lmclinic.com, and pick the day and the time and the clinic closest to you. Kirkland, Linwood, or in Tacoma. That's lmclinic.com. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Beautiful. I know. I can just see the little kids walking through the snow, the little Charlie Brown characters. They're ice skating.
You know, Lynette, the song before the break, Feliz Navidad.
Yes.
My mother got me a red Christmas t-shirt with sheep in sombreros and it said, Feliz Navidad. Like, thanks, Mom.
That's cool. Thank you, Mom. You could wear that. Save it for an old, one of those ugly Christmas sweater things or competitions. That would be fun.
That's cute.
All right. We are going to take some phone calls right up until 12 o'clock here. We are first headed to Tacoma, and we have Tim. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
Thank you. Hello. I had a question. I thought a while ago I had heard you guys say something about autoimmune diseases and affecting your thyroid, or there was some kind of a correlation there. And I was wondering, I had been diagnosed with myasthenia gravis, and my doctor's never said anything about that or mentioned that that's something I should be aware of, but if I should be talking to him about looking at, or if that should be part of what I'm being aware of with that disease.
Have you had any thyroid problems in the past?
Not really. I mean, not that, tests come out pretty normal, but normal, I think, what doctors think is normal and what people think are normal aren't necessarily the same. And,
right.
But, not that I know of.
Okay. And are you like, do you have a lot of symptoms right now with your myasthenia?
No, the medicine that they've given me has seemed to, helped. I can notice a difference with, it's called Mestin, and I notice a difference. Since I've been taking it.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, some of those medications are really life-changing and very helpful. So with what I think we might have said would be that, when you have one autoimmune condition, and myasthenia gravis certainly is one, then maybe there is a risk for having more than one autoimmune disease. And therefore, if you do have one, you want to make sure that, they're not ignoring symptoms. So with thyroid, we usually look for thyroid antibodies. And a typical presentation may be just a progression of weakness or dry skin or hair loss, which is if you're tending more to be in the hypothyroid. If it is hyper and going in the opposite, then you're just agitated and alert and wiry and you can't sleep. So either one of those can happen. And then in thyroid, usually it is basically self-limited. It will wear itself and wean itself out over time. But it's just a matter of knowing, are you in that category or not? Do you have that? And that being one of the most common thyroid autoimmune diseases, usually more prevalent in women than in men, but not to say that it can't happen in a man. So if you're getting your workup done and they're measuring your antibody levels with the medication for your myasthenia, And you're feeling like, yeah, generally more cold than usual, or your skin is drier, you're starting to lose hair more, then you may ask, you know, can we check my thyroid gland? Or could it be that I have something else developing, some other autoimmune issue? Is there something going on?
Yeah, definitely feeling more, more cold the last couple of months. That's the one really noticeable.
Yeah, so then definitely have them do a cursory screen for the thyroid, check the TSH level. But while they're going to do that, tell them to also check for thyroid antibodies.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. She mentioned, Dr. Umat mentioned possibly something going on in the gut.
The gut, yeah.
Of course, because a lot of in autoimmune conditions can begin in the gut if you have a translocation of certain types of bacteria through the gut wall. Because of a leaky gut situation, that can result in things like rheumatoid arthritis and various other autoimmune diseases. I'm not sure if myasthenia gravis is in that category, but we do see thyroid dysfunction sometimes result from things like gluten sensitivity that have caused, problems with the gut lining, and certain proteins in thyroid look like gluten and causes an autoimmune attack on the thyroid. So that sometimes happens as well.
So okay. I think the message here is that you want to be vigilant, you want to be aware, and sometimes it might not be that you need another drug, there might not be a drug, but you might just need to be more careful about what you put in your mouth, what you need to avoid so that the disease is quiet, or you might need to, they talk about stress management a lot with autoimmune diseases and how it can cause a flare-up sometimes. So being mindful of what you can easily eat, what you need to avoid, how much sleep you really need, how much stress management you can handle. Those things might just help in the prognosis long term for you, and you may have a better outcome overall with them. Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, I really appreciate the information, and all of you have a wonderful Christmas or a Merry Christmas, and have a happy holidays.
Oh, hey, thank you for that, Scott.
Thank you, and the same to you.
Or Tim.
The best, Tim.
All right. Thank you, Tim, for that. All right. We're going to continue on the same topic, and we are going to Bellevue. Catherine is on the line. Hi, Catherine.
Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Hello. I wanted to talk to the GI specialist, but I don't know if I can do that anymore because of the last two callers. Oh my goodness. I was diagnosed at 27 with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is an autoimmune disorder of thyroid.
Right.
I have a mental illness and was started on thyroid a year before that, or on lithium. So that relates to people that talk about kidney problems. Never had kidney problems, never had anything really wrong, AIC, nothing other than I had another autoimmune disorder, never diagnosed as that, dry eyes, dry mouth, years ago.
Okay.
And now it is not officially diagnosed, but from the research that I've researched on my own, I have all the symptoms of Sjogren's. Which is another autoimmune disorder that was dry eyes, dry mouth mainly, went into the eyes, not only dry eyes, but causes light sensitivity and all this. Anyway, went to your specialist, and I recommend him highly, Dr. Gilbert. And he's pretty much got my eyes back just what he did. And I even haven't had cataract surgery, and I can see pretty good. But I need cataract surgery. I'm getting off the subject. Well, I'm calling about your GI. So, and I talked to Dr. Mixon years ago when he did shows in Bellevue at the hotels. Mm-hmm. And I've always held my weight above my waist. I'm built like a man, and I'm very muscular, even with how sick I've been now. I forgot to tell you this. About 2 months ago, I was diagnosed with what you call complex PTSD. So if I had been diagnosed with that and then they'd known about it, in 1980, when I went through severe depression, And, you know, I would have never been diagnosed with all these other horrible things that I've gotten through lithium. Right. And, you know, lithium saved my life, but a lot of the psychotics and antipsychotics, they're not good for my brain. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say is there's a research center at Virginia Mason Medical Center that used to be research diabetes. And they are part of the people that found out diabetes is autoimmune. And now right now I've contacted them because I'd be very interested to study myself. But they're doing mainly lupus. Are we leaving?
There's the music.
No, we're just going to take a quick break, but we will be back to talk more about this. And that way the doctors can talk during the break. So, Catherine, hang on the line. And, Gary, we're going to get to your question, too. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back. Love that song. Lynette here, along with Dr. Ken Pentland and Dr. Samira Umat, and we are finishing up a conversation with Catherine talking about autoimmune issues.
I think she had a question about autoimmune conditions affecting the GI. Is that right?
Is that right, Catherine?
I want to tell you, I'm going to update it. I've had, somebody was mentioning metformin. I was in the NASH study. At Veterans, and I got in just because they did a, well, anyway, I got in, and not because I had diabetes problem or anything like that, but because I had NASH, and I got, what do you ever, chosen to get metformin. This was years ago, 10 years ago, when it first came, the national study first came out, and interesting, in my body, I actually gained weight in the belly, but my glucose went from, like, you know, down to the low 80s. And I had nausea problems with it. And,
So you're asking about...
What I'm asking is, NASH. I've just been so sick since June, haven't been eating. My thyroid got changed by, not my specialist, by an internal doctor. When I had all the symptoms that shouldn't change anyway, it got so bad. It was so low. The TSH was so low. It looked like I was hyper, but it should have been rechecked. Anyway, I was out meds for a long time, and it went as high, the TSH went as high as 12.63. It's now down to 3. This started in June, 3.63, which is in the normal range, but we'd like to keep it at 1.
Have you had
I have not been eating.
Food sensitivity
I have not
testing?
Had any appetite. I'm sorry. I can't hear you. I apologize.
Have you had food sensitivity testing done?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's not that. I'm gluten-free as of 2 months ago. I went to a naturopath. It's all my lymph system. 3 months ago. 4 months ago. I the last 4 months have been hell.
The reason I ask is because oftentimes with a traumatic experience in the past, the body will sort of turn on defense mechanisms against certain types of foods if you have a genetic predisposition to react to those foods.
Right. Yeah.
Those don't have to expressed throughout your
life.
But,
yeah.
Sure, but if
I'm
you have
gluten-free.
One, you often have multiple ones. And so that's,
right.
You know,
yeah,
it's
I'm
good
gluten-free
to test for that.
And right, I've been gluten-free and dairy-free. She wasn't going to put me dairy-free, the naturopath. But that's all I was drinking is milk. That's pretty much I've survived on. That's how I've gotten my protein. Anyway, I've gained weight. I've gained 20 pounds. And I look healthy because of Dr. Nixon and that, you know, fish oil. But I have all the symptoms of thyroid. I have dry skin. I don't know. Do you know anything about autoimmune? But I've always carried that weight above my waist. and I'm exercising as much as I can, but because of the Sjogren's, I've got that, the periods of lethargy, but I'm a pickleball player. And so I go play pickleball, and I try to walk, but I just get these periods. And it's all due to stress because, yeah, the diagnosis of PTSD.
Well, knowing supplements and your sort of more detailed case history, can sort of pinpoint a specific course of action to try for you. But
I think she kind of mentioned that, you know, it's stress related, a lot mm-hmm. of it. And so,
of course, you know, stress is going to play a huge role in GI function as well. And that
sure.
when we talk about different types of autoimmune conditions coming out, you know, I do believe the gut is a central to that question. And so
even the Hashimoto's, you know,
even the Hashimoto's,
some people keep it under control by really managing their stress.
And, but what I'm trying to tell you is I'm not eating. I'm eating about 600 calories a day.
Mm-hmm. And so in addition to the food sensitivity testing, comprehensive stool analysis, if you haven't had that done recently, that has more of a shelf life. It usually isn't good after, you know, 6 months.
Well, do you have any recommendations for GI doctors? I can't afford you guys. I'm on a limited income. Mm-hmm. I've been disabled since a long time because of the mental illness. And I can't, and preferably somebody that would take Medicare and that has an immune background.
I don't have anybody off the top of my head that fits that criteria. But
it's hard to find.
If you provide an email to the folks, we can maybe get back to you.
Oh, that'd be great. Anyway, welcome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're
both.
Welcome.
Thank Dr.
All
Mitzen.
Right. Thank you, Catherine.
Good luck to you.
Oh, yes.
We wish you all the best. Sorry mm-hmm. to hear about the troubles you've had.
Oh, so many. Okay, one last caller's doctor. We have, we're taking a ferry to Bremerton. We have Gary.
All right.
Gary on the line. Hi, Gary.
Hello,
well,
Gary.
Well, Merry Christmas to you all.
Merry Christmas.
To you too, sir.
Merry Christmas. I'd like to share an 80-year-old lady's. She's in pretty good condition, except for some motor skills. Problems she had with GI, because you've had a lot of calls about it, it seems like. She had some GI issues where she started, she also had, because she had bowel issues, she had a colonoscopy to try to find what was wrong. They couldn't find anything. She went to the diapers wearing those. She had to use cranberries and D-mannose, of course, because of infection that she was having. She was taking that constantly. And just by accident, she found a solution to it, where she's been free of it now for over a year. And she was started off with taking Metamucil, I think 4 tablespoons a day. Now, that helped a little bit, the sugarless one. But then one time she went to a couple of foods I don't particularly care for, and she had some leftovers, so she kept eating it. All of a sudden she wasn't having problems. And so I went over with her, what have you been eating? And she eats every night. She eats 2 tablespoons of, she does the Metamucil still, but she only uses 2 tablespoons of it. But she also takes 1 teaspoon of sauerkraut and 1 teaspoon of Greek plain yogurt with no sugar in it, 1 teaspoon of that. And it started clearing up the issues. She does not take any D-mannose or cranberries at all now. And started clearing it up after about 6 months, she said. Mm-hmm. And it's been over a year. And the only thing I can think of is that it created a better flora, the probiotic approach for her gut. Maybe there was some allergies or who knows what else in there. But there's no problems now.
That's excellent.
And thought I'd share that with you. She can't take Imodium. She was trying something else at the very beginning. But this was just out of the blue, just because she happened to take some food she liked and kept doing it for weight, didn't want to waste them.
No, that's
great.
I have a story about sauerkraut myself.
Sauerkraut is actually really good for the acid environment. The fermented foods are actually very good. And also with the Greek yogurt, she's probably getting those probiotics that are so necessary.
But the, the fermented sauerkraut acts like a demulcent, kind of like aloe vera on a sunburn.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had a case of ulcerative colitis of patient, and they were having bloody diarrhea, keeping them awake every night, basically. And while we're waiting for the testing to be done, I told them to take a tablespoon of sauerkraut before every meal, or at least three times a day. And by the time the testing was ready, the bleeding had stopped.
So, great.
Right. Great. So, I mean, that's an N of one, but sauerkraut is more than just good bacteria. It's the sort of soft mucilage protective layer that helps the gut lining to heal. And you had a similar effect with the mannose, with the D-mannose that has a sort of protective layer.
The sugar just coats the gut lining.
So it protects it from pathogens. So I think that's also what's going on there.
Yeah.
Cabbage itself
has so many benefits. Even in the raw form, it's so good.
Yeah, I prefer myself kimchi. And then the vegetables that you see in the jars that are fermented, I like that. That way I get my cruciferous, however you pronounce it.
Yes, cruciferous.
Exactly. Good for you.
Fun word.
I get them when they're pickled, yeah.
Oh,
so I just thought I'd share that. She wanted me to share that with you.
I'm glad you did.
Thank you for sharing that.
That's great and very good information going into the holidays. If you're looking for something to eat, sauerkraut
and pickled cruciferous vegetables
and Greek yogurt, unsweetened Greek yogurt.
Uh-oh, I don't think they'll have any of that at my party tonight. But, I'll look. I'll see what I can do. Oh, doctors, thank you so much. We are going to take a break for a couple of weeks, and we will be back in the new year. We will have our show, Leading Edge Medicine, will be on the air with lots of new information and some wonderful calls for you. Have a terrific holiday with your families over the next 2 weeks, and we will be back with Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, Dr. Pentland, and the whole gang in the new year. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.